Charles Paris mystery, Murder in the Title, starring Bill Nye as Charles.
There's a well-known theatrical maxim. If you find your director shot through the head, get drunk as a skunk before you go to bed.
Oh, man, I didn't get crisps. You want crisps or nuts? I didn't get nuts. I could have got nuts. They've got nuts. Do you want nuts?
Calm down.
I am calm. I am super calm.
You're manic.
Yeah, well, I need a drink. Chill.
Are you okay, Charles?
Yeah, no. Cheers. Cheers.
Awful.
So would you if you just found a man with half a face.
If you don't slow down, you'll only have half a liver.
Francis and Italian lodger Fabio had come to Rugland Spa for lunch and to see me in an awesomely bad thriller, The Message is Murder.
You look pale.
I don't get enough iron.
You're in shock.
Within a month, I've nearly been stabbed, an actor was half hanged on stage, and I've just found my director with a bullet in his head. I think I've earned the right to be a bit wobbly in the nerve department.
It could be post-traumatic stress.
Nothing a bottle of whiskey won't solve.
Alcohol isn't the answer.
Don't blind me with platitudes.
Well, this really has been a day to forget.
I hear the AA are listing Rugland Spa as an accident black spot. Where's the lodger?
He jumped a train back to London when the painkillers wore off.
What were you playing at over lunch?
I said it was olive bread. I'd have thought it was self-evident there might have been stones.
I'm not talking about his broken tooth. Why were you behaving like an arse?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'd have expected it if you were drunk, but you'd only had half a glass.
I was being hostly.
You were being ghastly.
I was showing an interest in Fabio's life.
You were trying and failing to belittle him because you're threatened by him.
Threatened? I don't think.
You never do.
What's to be threatened by?
His PhD.
PhD's a ten a penny these days.
Not to mention his youth, good looks, charm, the olive skin, those cornflower blue eyes.
So I was right, you do fancy him.
Well, I've got a pulse, haven't I? Of course I fancy him.
Oh.
The way you fancy every twiglet in a miniskirt. The difference is I'm smart enough to realise he doesn't fancy me.
Oh.
So, unlike you, I remain dignified without the rejection, humiliation and inevitable self-loathing.
He must be mad not to fancy you.
Thanks. But he's clearly got the hots for Phoebe.
Really?
Didn't you see the way he kept looking at her? Oh, no, you were too busy trying to score points.
Do you think it was reciprocal?
Ask Phoebe. Where is she, anyway?
It's her turn with the police.
What did they ask you?
Well, mainly what I was doing in the manager's office.
What were you doing?
I'd finished, so I thought I'd watch the show from the stalls. There's a pass door in the props room, which is where I found Tony crouched down by a grandfather clock.
Doing what?
He just looked a bit shifty, like a teenage boy hiding a dirty magazine.
There speaks the voice of experience.
Then I saw the gun.
Weren't you scared?
Of course I was scared, but his grudge was with Sean, the manager, not with me. There were rumours that Tony had had his hand in the till, and I reckon Sean knew it. It was when Tony zipped through the pass door and locked it behind him that I thought, bloody hell, he's going to kill Sean.
Couldn't you do anything?
I yelled and banged, then I went out through the other door, retracing my steps, but it took too long.
Hi, Charles.
Oh, Sean. I don't think you've met Francis.
Hi.
Still in shock, the theatre manager's hand was trembling as he raised a large brandy to his lips.
I don't understand. What was Tony thinking?
I don't think he could have been thinking. Not clearly.
Oh, if he'd come face to face with me in that state of mind. Poor Martha.
Is that his wife?
She must be devastated. You know, Tony and I both wanted the best for the Regent. We just came at it from different places. I only hope I didn't push him too hard.
This theatre wasn't just Tony's job. It was his home, and we were part of his family.
Local politico and chair of the board, Elaine Spence, was in a razor-sharp black two-piece delivering her pep talk from the stage.
Sean and I have spoken to Tony's wife, Martha, and we all agree that to let the Regent go dark now would play into the hands of people who want to close us down.
A company called Stratus Developments had been bidding to buy the theatre, which was sitting on a piece of prime real estate.
Out of respect for Tony, The Message is Murder will keep playing until we can appoint a new director to take over rehearsals of the next show. Thank you.
With some free time, I found myself outside Tony and Martha's house, listening to their wind chimes and waiting to pay my respects.
Charles.
I just wanted to, well, you know, see how you are.
Come in. The police said you were the last person to see Tony alive.
Afraid so.
How was he? I mean, did you get the impression that he was...
No, he was a bit hyper, but I'm as shocked as everyone else.
I don't know how much Tony shared with his wife, but now was not the time to mention rumours of embezzlement.
I knew he was under a lot of pressure, what with all the controversy about the new show and...
Mothers Against Depravity. Tony wouldn't have killed himself over a bunch of small-minded provincial bigots.
A local pressure group were picketing the theatre, protesting to stop the next show, Britannia, from being staged.
They were a minor irritant. What worried me was that he felt he was being victimised.
By whom?
It varied. The council, Sean, Elaine, the board in general.
Forgive me, but it sounds a bit paranoid.
I know. But he phoned last night to say he was on the verge of getting a crucial piece of evidence.
What time did he call?
Just after 9.
Shortly before I bumped into him in the props room. You say evidence?
He never got round to telling me. These are his papers. I've been going through them for clues, but I don't know what I'm looking for.
Are there any recurring names, themes, motifs?
He never had a methodical mind. I mean, this is his diary.
Do you mind if I have a look?
Obviously, the same names pop up all the time. Sean, Elaine, Stratos Developments, Bill Kitson.
Lord Kitson was patron of the theatre, and as far as I'd seen, no more than a title and a Savile Row suit.
He had run-ins, like you do with colleagues, but it doesn't add up to anything.
Something's bothered me since I arrived in Rugland. For a man who loved theatre and with so many plays in the world, why stage these ones?
He didn't choose them.
Then who did?
Oh, hi, Charles. I'm just on my way out.
Did you know that Elaine and Sean chose the repertoire for this season?
Yeah. Come in.
Thanks.
Don't you think it seems a bit odd?
Well, it's not usual, but there's been so much tension in the air recently.
Have you got a few minutes to knock some ideas around?
Actually, I've got to go and pick up a costume for tonight's show. I won't be long.
Have you got a computer?
Of course I've got
one.
Can I
use it?
I suppose.
Only the big end's gone on mine and I need to do a bit of research.
Right, well, the laptop's in the sitting room.
Great. Oh, is it switched on to the internet?
It's online, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I poked and prodded the laptop for about 10 minutes before I found the universal symbol for power and the box of delights came to life. After another 10, I managed to find some background info on Sean and Tony and, on the Regent's own website, a nauseating mission statement from Elaine, but I didn't really know what to look for or how to look for it. Floundering and bored, I had a nip of scotch. Then, buoyed up, I made the mistake of typing in my own name.
You bastard.
Is hello to bourgeois for you?
Why am I not listed on your website?
Aren't you?
I don't know if it's worse that I'm not on there or that you didn't know I'm not on there.
Well, it must be an admin oversight. I'll get Pixie onto it straight away.
What if a casting director's trying to track down my agent?
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
No wonder I never get any decent work.
You can't blame me for that. Handling you is like representing the Grim Reaper.
Titter spreading gossip again.
It's Twitter, and it allows me to keep an eye on the trail of destruction that follows in your wake. When I tell producers you're my client, they make the sign of the cross.
I'm going to make the sign of the bloody furious if you don't put my credits on your site.
As good as done. Now, what the hell happened to Tony? I didn't have him down as the suicidal type.
Keep a list of possibilities, do you?
Don't worry, you're not on it. Far too narcissistic.
Takes one to know one. According to his wife, Tony believed he was being victimised.
He was a director. Paranoia's in the job description.
Elaine thought highly of him.
Elaine?
Elaine Spence, chair of the board.
Oh, now that is interesting.
Why?
She's becoming a bit of a player in arts admin.
I thought she was just a big fish in a small pond.
Well, everybody starts somewhere, and word is she's been headhunted as an advisor at DCOMS.
Is that an acronym or a prostate condition?
Department of Culture, Media and Sport. Elaine's got friends in high places.
Well, at the moment, she's fending off a buyout from a company called Stratos Developments.
Oh, that rings a bell, too.
Where from?
I don't know. If I remember, I'll give you a call.
Oh, God.
What have you done?
Oh, I was just typing in DCOMS and this window's popped up. It won't go.
Hi, Charles.
I swear this isn't what it looks like.
In that kind of close-up, I'm not sure what it looks like.
It took a lot of explaining before Phoebe finally believed that the pop-up porn was down to inexperience and a slip of the finger. But I finally convinced her.
You really do attract trouble, don't you?
I've never known a season like this for things going wrong.
You sound like my agent. And those things would have happened anyway. I just happened to be there.
Who made olive bread and left the stones in?
Yeah, I hold my hand up to that one. Have you heard from Fabio?
Why would I?
No reason, just something Francis said.
I hope you two aren't trying to matchmake. I told
you... You're off men, I know.
Right. I'm going to Wellside for a workout before the show. Do you want to come?
What's Wellside?
Swanky Health Club.
Ugh. The words health and club don't work. Gambling club, sure. Drinking club, definitely. But a club for health. Where is this place?
Out of town on Lord Kitson's estate. We've got an arrangement to use the bar and facilities for free.
Free? Nobody told me.
You're not the fitness type.
I'm the bar type.
Strictly juice and health food.
Oh.
Come anyway. Spa's to die for.
My luck, I'd die in it.
Oh, go on. Stick on your funny rehearsal shorts and I'll sign you in.
Oi. I bought those shorts for the Isle of Wight Festival in 1970.
Oh. It's not a great time, Morris.
There's gratitude.
I'm not supposed to have my phone on in here.
In where?
I'm in a locker room.
A what?
I'm in a health club.
Okay, well done. You got me that time.
I'm serious.
What the hell are you doing in a health club?
I am allowed.
No, you're not. It flies in the face of nature.
Yeah, I'm hanging up now.
Don't you want to know why I phoned?
Why?
I'm looking for a rustic bolt hole, so I've been dipping a toe in the property market.
We really don't live in the same universe.
Same universe, different planets.
Why did you phone specifically to lower my self-esteem?
One of the properties I looked at is owned by Stratos Development.
Really?
Thought you'd be interested. The house isn't to my taste, all a bit oligarch, nouveau chic.
Can we get to the point?
Well, the point is, my estate agent warned me off for ethical reasons.
An ethical estate agent?
Drop the moral outrage, you old trot.
So what makes Stratus particularly unethical?
Once upon a time, a couple of East End urbits set themselves up as landlords with a nice line in extortion and eviction. Some clearance for luxury apartments, but like all crooks, they wanted respectability. Which they achieved by schmoozing the nobility and roping a few coronets onto the board of directors.
And that's Stratos Development.
They're a small part of a much bigger corporate conglomerate, one company inside another.
Like a Russian doll.
Which is ironic, because there's a lot of Russian money involved.
There must be one overall owner.
Cerulean Investments, a hedge fund that got trimmed in the recession. But it has got a handful of Debrett's finest on the board.
Any names I'd know?
Well, you're not exactly on the Tatler party circuit. But does Lord Kitson sound familiar? Strange
days. Without alcohol and nicotine to help me think, the intense heat and steam forced me to relax. And I was just drifting off when...
Mind if I add some eucalyptus oil to the steamer?
No. No, be my guest.
The face was obscured by fog, but the disembodied voice was familiar.
Some people find the vapour overpowering.
Yeah. Reminds me of menthol cigarettes when I was young.
That sounds like Charles Paris. Elaine Spence.
Oh, hi. You're a regular here.
It's my one still point in the day. And today I need it.
Mm. Shocking about Tony.
Tragic.
It's one thing after another. No wonder actors talk about cursed theatres.
I'm not an actor, but I am a rationalist.
Me too, but rule out the supernatural. And it looks like someone's trying to sabotage the Regent.
Who'd want to do that?
Well, there's a strong lobby to sell the place off, and from what I hear, Stratus Developments aren't exactly squeaky clean patrons of the arts.
I don't know what you've heard, but you should be careful. Their lawyers are weapons grade.
But every new cock-up plays into their hands. Must make it difficult for you to fight our corner.
You're not wrong there.
And if someone did want to sabotage the place, they'd just have to bung enough money to someone with a bit of clout, like...
You mean someone like me?
Obviously not
you, but someone like you.
I am fighting tooth and nail to save the region, and for your information, I don't take back, Anders.
I didn't actually say
you. You intimated I don't accept bribes, Charles, and I don't do corruption. Someone in my position has to be whiter than white.
Especially if they're advising D. Cummes.
How did you know that?
We've both got friends in high places.
Meaning?
Here we are. Luxuriating in steam, gratis.
Actually, we're luxuriating in return for free advertising. One local business helping another.
A business owned by the patron of the Regent.
Lord Kitson is incredibly supportive of the theatre. And before you ask, yes, he introduced me to people in D. Cummes. That's how the political system works.
But systems are open to rule bending. Someone scratches your back, but what do they want in return?
Pill is a completely honourable man. I just keep him abreast of new initiatives, new appointments.
He's also on the board of directors of Cerulean Investments.
Who?
They own Stratus Developments. There was a hot, steamy moment as the news of Lord Kitson's conflict of interest sank in. Then...
I think I've been played.
Back in my airless dressing room, I changed into my polyester costume while my brain struggled to tease out the events that led to Tony Hegarty's death.
Mr. Harris to the stage, please.
Hi, Francis.
Can you speak?
Not really. I've just been called for my death scene.
OK, can I have Phoebe's number?
OK. What for?
Fabio. He really likes her.
So he's asked Mama to get a number.
He's a bit shy.
He's Italian.
Are you going to give me the number?
Now. I've got to go and die, but I'll text it to you from the afterlife. And
I, you, the first. Where the hell have you been?
Sorry.
Just get in the bloody closet and act dead.
Yeah.
Gerald?
Perhaps he's out.
I'll see if his coat's in the closet.
Once again, I was finished till the curtain call, and as soon as my body had been removed, I sneaked round to the prompt corner.
You cut that a bit fine.
Sorry. Francis phoned, asking for your number.
My number?
Nothing important, and frankly, I don't think she should get involved.
Stand by sound cue 20. Involved with what?
I told you you're off men.
Well, up to a point.
The last thing you need is some smooth-talking, blue-eyed Italian.
Give him my mobile.
What?
Actually, give him my email and Facebook page, too.
I thought you were off men.
Well, maybe it's time to get back on.
Right.
Sound cue 20, go. And I'm going to need something to look forward to with a new director starting tomorrow.
What new director?
Sean's told Jim Worrell to pick up where Tony left off.
You are joking. I wouldn't trust that idiot to direct traffic.
Worrell was the author of the so-called thriller we were currently staging. Stomping back to my dressing room, I bumped into Sean, who was wearing an air of ineffable self-satisfaction.
Oh, how's it going, Charles?
Don't you know it's unlucky to whistle backstage?
Is it?
We wouldn't want any more bad luck, would we?
You okay?
I've just heard Jim Worrell's taking over from Tony.
Well, it's such late notice and he knows you all and he's a real stalwart.
Are you out of your tiny mind?
Sorry.
With all due lack of respect, Jim was a crap actor who became a crap writer and I have no reason to assume he won't make it a hat-trick and be a crap director too.
Have you been drinking again?
Not yet.
If you want to talk about this, let's take it to your dressing room.
Yeah.
Let me remind you who saved your skin when Tony wanted to have you fired.
Yeah, and I wonder why.
What?
Why did you save me? I was pissed. I messed up, and as far as you knew, I'd mess up again. Why go out on a limb?
You promised you wouldn't do it again.
Drunks will promise anything. And while we're at it, when did managers decide on cast and repertoire?
I suppose Tony told you I'd made him a lame duck.
He didn't need to. I've seen his private diary. The season he'd planned might have been bog standard, but it would have put bums on seats, unlike this garbage. It's almost like you wanted him to fail.
You know, I knew you were a boozer, but I hadn't realised you were a paranoid conspiracy theorist.
I don't put it on my spotlight form.
Yeah, if you've quite finished, I've got better things to be getting.
You kept me on in the hope I'd screw up again. Another nail in the theatre's coffin.
You're deranged.
But you're a crook.
And that's slander, so before I phone your agent to tell him he's got a nutter on his books, tell me why I went to all this trouble.
Your theatrical CV's full of glowing references, but all from obscure fringe companies touring the Australian outback.
Shakespeare should be seen by everyone.
Very laudable. So why come back to run a small provincial rep?
You can't make a living on the fringe. It was time to go legit and I needed to start earning.
I bet you were on a good whack working for Cerulean Investments.
You have been doing your homework.
That's acting. There's so much downtime. Anyway, it was Tony's homework. I've just been reading it and piecing things together. But he had your number and he was about to blow the whistle.
What was it they always used to say in the bill? You've got me bang to rights.
You don't deny it?
What's to deny?
You engineered everything to make Rugland Rep look incompetent.
Oh, I'm flattered, but in truth it didn't take much engineering. Just a nudge in the right direction.
A dreadful season of plays, terrible review. I bet you even got Mothers Against Depravity all fired up about the next show.
Oh, God bless the moral minority.
Putting people out of work's just a laugh to you.
A, you'll have to prove it. And B, there'll be plenty of work for the building trade when they demolish this place and start putting up houses.
And the so-called accidents? The blade through the flat that nearly stabbed me? Ronnie almost hanged on stage.
Accidents happen in theatres.
He could have died.
But he didn't.
Tony did.
He killed himself.
Depressed and driven to distraction by you.
If you say so.
It's all in the diaries.
Oh, I can imagine. Page Turner, is it? Diary of a provincial director, the paranoid ramblings of a man on the verge of a breakdown.
Tony was on to you. He'd figured out you worked for Cerulean Investments.
Where are the actual crimes, Charles? More importantly, where's the evidence?
You admitted. You've been out to destroy this place.
Unless you've been secretly taping this little chat, I haven't admitted anything to anyone.
You really are a smug bastard.
I take it I'm off your Christmas card list.
If you've broken my nose...
I was more worried I'd broken my hand, but the pain was worth it to wipe the smile off his face.
Manager assaulted by drunken actor. Yeah, just the headline this theatre doesn't need. Yeah, cheers, Charles. That wasn't a punch. It was a full stop.
Oh, damn.
I think we have more
in it.
Thank you very much, everyone. Charles.
Yeah.
Next curtain call, hold hands like everyone else.
Well, I couldn't. I think I might have fractured mine hitting Sean.
What?
It's him, Phoebe.
You hit the manager?
He works for Stratos. Well, the company that owns Stratos.
What are you talking about?
Sean's been working behind the scenes to make the theatre look so inept, the council will be happy to sell it. He's the reason everything's gone wrong since we opened, and he's the reason Tony killed himself.
Can you prove it?
That's the problem.
I can't believe you hit him.
Shortly before I met him in the props room, Tony phoned Martha to say he was on the verge of getting the last piece of evidence. But what was it?
Could have just been big talk.
No, it was something. I know it was. Tony was hyped up, but he was on to something.
And this was in the props room?
Yeah.
Well, come on then.
So I came in here and Tony was crouched over here by the grandfather clock. How long has this been here?
Long before me.
Has it been moved recently?
I don't think so.
Used in any shows?
No, why?
Yeah.
You hit Sean. You are so fired this time.
Come on, Tony. What were you doing? What were you... Hang on.
I found something.
I think so, but it's... It's caught on something. There's two wires... Go out a hole in the back.
The clock's moving. Charles! Are you okay?
I think so. What's this?
A mini disc player. What's he doing inside a grandfather clock?
Well, one wire was charging from a main socket. The other vanished into a hole in the skirting board. What's on the other side of this wall?
Who's in there?
Oh, it's Sean.
Open this door!
Go on, you'd better do as he says.
I might have known. Yeah, I'm glad you're here, Phoebe. You can be a witness when I tell the police that this lunatic hit me.
While they're here, we should play them this.
Put that stupid prop down.
This stupid prop is loaded. So for once you can shut up and listen. You've been one step ahead all the way, but I've been watching you.
This is paranoia.
At first, I thought it was just me you were trying to destroy. Then I realised it was the entire theatre. You fixed the books to make it look like I was stealing. You made me out to be unstable, turned people against me.
You're thinking straight.
You made everyone think you were just a control freak, always in the wings or backstage, so visible you became invisible. That's how you managed to loosen the safety wire on Ronnie's rope, isn't it?
Very clever. You know, you've really missed your vocation. You'd have made a better detective than you ever were a director. Now, give me the gun.
Keep away from me.
Give it to me, Tony.
You murdering bastard!
Oh, my nose!
My hand! Oh.
For the first time at Rugland Rep, the police arrived bang on cue and carted Sean away. The Messages murder staggered on to the end of its run, but Britannia was cancelled due to public pressure. A few evenings later, I was back in London and out of work once again.
Phoebe and Fabio sent you some photos of themselves in Rome.
I've seen enough photos on the internet, thanks.
These are perfectly decent.
Hang on, I haven't got an email account.
Ah! I've set one up for you.
Why?
Because you need to be dragged into the 21st century. Let me show you. It's easy peasy.
OK, but don't... just don't talk to me like a five-year-old.
This is where email comes in. This is where it goes out. And the junk gets stored here.
For Charles Paris, enhance your manhood with bloody nerve.
It's not personal.
Hey, Charles, make happy your another half. This is outrageous, Francis.
It's just spam.
There's no excuse for bad grammar. And what happened to formality?
Formality's analogue.
Here's another. Give your partner what she wants.
Excellent. A new dishwasher.
Sorry, I'm broke. Speaking of which, Morris promised to put me on his website. Let's have a look. Morris Scanlon Associates. Oh, the old sod promised he'd get Pixie onto it. I'm a digital non-person.
You despise the internet.
Yeah, but it's like showbiz parties. I don't want to go, but it's nice to be invited.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to have a hot bath and go to bed.
Good idea.
Alone.
Well, I could make happy my another half by giving her what she wants.
I might take you up on that.
Really? Name it.
Okay. Wait till I'm in bed.
Good start.
Then come up with a big, hot mug of Ovaltine.
Maybe it was the effect of provincial life, but the weird thing is, I found the idea strangely arousing.
In Murder in the Title, Charles Paris was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Phoebe was Claire Harry, Sean, Ian Batchelor, Tony, Sam Dale, Elaine, Christine Kavanagh, Chris, Henry DeVas, and Martha, Sally Orrock. Murder in the Title was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans.